Did we lose anybody after Sunday school? All right. Well, I've enjoyed being here. And hope you come back tonight. 6 o'clock now. 6 o'clock, not yep. Seven.
Yep.
Six. And I don't know, some of you probably like the Vikings. You like a loser.
Yeah.
They're rotten this year, aren't they?
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. I like to see a good football game, so I don't like to watch Vikings. Except when Denver beat them last week. Okay. But, yeah. Well, now, we want to go to the Gospel of John, chapter 12. All right. Okay. There she goes. John chapter 12. And let's look at, start with verse number one. Yeah. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. Amen. There they made him a supper. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Amen. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Verse 9. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus, also whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Jesus would just raise him up again. Amen? But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, Lazarus, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Lord, please help me to get this across in the simple way that it's presented today. May it be a help. Encouragement, Lord, a challenge to the Christians in this room. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about the second life of Lazarus. Back here in John chapter 11, look there real quick. You know Lazarus was dead. He was dead. Dead, dead, dead. Okay? And he stunk. He was so dead he stunk. And just like you and I will a few days after we're dead. And, so he went over there and you know the story, the whole chapter. Chapter 11 is just all about him, just about all of it. And in verse number 42, it says, and I knew, and he's praying to the Lord, the Father, that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! Loud voice. Right? You okay? Woke some of you up. But he did. It says a loud voice. You know, some of you aren't going to like heaven. There's going to be shouting up there. You know, I don't like loud preaching. You ain't going to like heaven. Amen. And the Lord preached loud. And he said, you don't think he sat there teaching 5,000 people, you know, and just said, glad you're here today. We've all gathered together here on the mount to hear this sermon. No, man, he had to. So, anyway, that was free. You're not going to have to pay for that. And verse number 44, and he that was dead came forth bound. That's what you are when you're dead and you're trespassing and sin. You're bound. You're in bondage. You're bound. He was bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, obviously his disciples, who's ever around there, loose him and let him go. Amen. I always like that story about Lazarus. I'll show you something right there, if I can, when he says, Jesus saith unto them, loose him. Now, could have Jesus unwrapped his grave clothes? I guess so. Amen. If he can call him and get him out of that grave and, you know, speak life into him. And that shows you and me that we have a part when someone gets born again. We ought to help them out. Help them out. You know, guys come to your church and guys come to our church and they have a lot of baggage. They got a lot of grave clothes on them. And sometimes we look at them. This is free, too. We look at them like, man, disgusting. Why did that guy get his hair cut? Well, that's just how you were. That's just where you would be, except by the grace of God. We get so pharisaical. We really do. Some people take a little more time than others. Hello. It didn't take long for me. I mean, I'll tell you why it didn't take long for me when I got saved. I'm talking about a second life of Lazarus today. I'm talking about because His resurrection is a type of the new birth. That's what happened to you, didn't it? You were dead in your trespasses and sins. Amen? And you who were dead trespasses, hath he quickened? He made alive? I tell you, I got in a church out there in Washington. And not very long after I got saved, maybe in August it was, middle of August, and I got saved May 5th. And, boy, I tell you, these guys, I had long hair. It was down to here. I had a big old walrus mustache, you know. And I had beads. Sorry. I had a necklace. But I wasn't one of those. I'll tell you that right now. Okay? But that was just the 60s and 70s type stuff. And, I tell you, these guys, they crowd around me. They took me invited me over to their house and fellowshipped with me and just helped me along the way and kind of unraveled some of those grave clothes. I remember the first time. I mean, there were some things that could have been discouraging. I went soul winning one time. I wanted to go soul winning right away. I wanted to tell people about Jesus Christ right away. I didn't know exactly how to do it. You know how to go through the Romans road or the John road or the Hebrews road or the Revelation road or whatever road to get them to Christ. But they had soul winning every Thursday night. And so I went. And there was a guy named Ray Scott. He was a redheaded Georgian. He was a southern redneck. And Pastor Blue or whoever was heading up the soul winning, they put me with him. And he did not like that. And I could have got discouraged over this. I tell you, really could have. But the Lord was real gracious to me. But he looked at me and went in his car, and we went out. And he looked in the back. I was sitting in the back seat, and he said, "You ever been soul winning before?" I says, no. Well, just keep your mouth shut. Now, he didn't help get too much of the grave clothes off, but I had friends like Bob Usher, Dick Yance, Ron Kimball, Tom Morrison, Dan Well. I mean, I had so many that helped me along the way. And you can do that, too, in this church, by the way. You see some guy come in here. We got a guy that just came, and he just got saved, walked the aisle. He's excited about it, and boy, he's got a lot of baggage. And we just got to help him get rid of some of that stuff and encourage him along the way. Hello, are you here today? I guess not. All right. So I want to talk to you about Lazarus, his raising. Now, I want to show you something. Jesus raised three people from the dead. Look it over here to Luke chapter 7. Pick it up in verse number 11. And it came to pass the day after that he, Jesus, went into a city called Nain, and up there in Galilee, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now, when he came nigh in the city, gate of the city, behold, there was a what? Dead man. Dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. My, oh, my, that's a rough situation. There's a lot of grieving going on there. Only son. And she was a widow. I mean, probably this son was taking care of her. And now she's got some, she's really got some issues to face. Amen. And, but, I mean, when death meets life, life takes over. Amen. When disorder meets order, things get orderly. When mourning meets the ministry of Christ, the ministry gets the upper hand. When the cemetery meets someone coming into the city like Jesus Christ, then something's going to happen. And look at it. I like this. At verse number 13, and when the lost Lord saw her, not him, her, see, she's left alone. He had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier. That's not the stuff you guys, moose head or whatever, or Coors or anything. The bier is a coffin. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. Man, wait. I mean, there's nothing boring about following Jesus Christ. I mean, could you ever... You believe this? It happened. I mean, here this guy's in... You've been to funerals. Don't mean to be disrespectful any way, shape, or form, but my... Boom. Stand up. Talk about a buzz going on. Amen. And so he sat up. The movies don't have anything on the Bible. Now, they got that in the movies type stuff, I suppose, in the Dracula or, you know, all the horror things they got going on. And he said, young man, verse number 14, and I say unto thee, arise. When Jesus says arise, you going up. Amen. I mean, he said, let there be light. There was light. When Jesus Christ speaks, things happen. Lazarus, come forth. Came forth. Now, look back here to look over another place here in Luke chapter 8. Now, notice Luke chapter 8. And pick it up in verse number 49. While he yet spake, Jesus, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue, saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he said, answered them, him saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden, and all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. Now, this girl's about 12 years old, if you see in Mark. And they laughed him to scorn. They laughed him to scorn. They don't know who Jesus Christ is and what he can do. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and said, maid, arise. There it is again. Get up. When Jesus Christ says, come up hither, you're going. So I don't believe in that kind of rapture stuff. Too bad, you're going. Sorry. And I'm going to say, see, I told you so. I told you I'm millennial. Told you. Hey, aren't you going to be doing that? I don't know. You might think of something else. Verse number 55. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat, and her parents were astonished, charged him not that they should tell him. So Jesus Christ raised a man, Lazarus. He raises a young man back there in Luke chapter 7. And then he raises a child. That shows you that Jesus Christ is concerned for all age groups. Everybody needs redemption. Everybody needs salvation. Thank you, parents, for subjecting your kids to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, parents, for bringing your people to church. I mean, your kids to church. I mean, praise the Lord. Some people don't give a hoot about their children. They're just left, and they're going to the dogs and going to hell today. And I thank you, and I commend you for bringing your family and subjecting them to the preaching of the Word of God. Salvation is a great thing, and it is illustrated by these raisings of the dead. I mean, where there was death and where there's Jesus Christ, there then is life. There then is life. Where there was hate in salvation, now there's love. Where there was sadness, now there's joy. Where there was doubt, now there's faith. Where there was death, now there's life. All because of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to talk to you this morning, as brief as I can be, some things that a born-again child of God should have after you get saved. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I want to say to you, first of all, this morning, that you ought to, first of all, and primarily, right from the get-go, have fellowship with Jesus Christ. That is very important. Look at Lazarus here in chapter number 12 and verse number 1. He says this, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was. Now, you know what he's doing. He's checking up on his miracles progress. You know, the Lord checks up on you once in a while and sees how you're doing. And many times he uses the preacher to check up on you. Amen. And he says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. It says this a few times here. There they made him a what? Supper. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. You know what Lazarus is doing? He's having fellowship with the Lord. He's having fellowship. You know the Lord wants you to have fellowship with him. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into to him and sup with him and he with me. He wants to have fellowship. He wants to know you. He wants you to get to know him. He wants to have communion with you. He wants to be your companion. Take your Bible and go over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know what? Your new life in Jesus Christ brings a new relationship. Brings a new relationship. These are some things that you ought to have. They're very simple here this morning. And you didn't have these things before. You ought to have them now. You ought to have fellowship with the Lord. Look at 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, if you don't mind. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and pick it up in verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and look at verse number 9. And then we'll go to another scripture. 1 Corinthians 1, 9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Boy, you think about that. You get to talk to the Creator of the world every day. I mean, you know, and you can, listen, you know, iron sharpens iron, so doth a friend the continence, a man the continence of his friend, or vice versa, friend so doth a friend, the countenance, whatever. But you know, iron sharp, you stay, you have fellowship with Jesus Christ, and you'll get sharpened up a little bit. I mean, he will rub off on you, and boy, do we need to have him rub off on us. I mean, I know that he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Right? And he's wisdom personified. But he that walketh, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And we sometimes in our new life in Christ, and oh my, we still hang around that foolish crowd, that foolish philosophy, those foolish things. I'll go over here to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 now, please. 1 John chapter 1. Now look at 1 John chapter 1. And it talks about fellowshipping. And look at verse number 3. As he's that which we have seen, and heard, declare we unto you, that ye may have, look at this now, but that ye also may have fellowship with us. That's Christians fellowshipping with one another. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. And, you know, you need to get that guy, that girl, that person, that person that's been recently saved into your fellowship and try to take those clothes up. You know, someone said, and I made this one up. Oh, yeah, that's probably kind of, it won't make much sense. But, it's not bad to have groups. I mean, we all, in a church, we all gravitate to certain people of like personality, don't we? But then they start to call them, when you don't let anybody into your group, then it becomes a clique. Because they're just not like you. Well, they are if they've got Jesus Christ. And he says here in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also may have fellowship with us. But truly, and truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. It is good to have fellowship one with another, but our primary fellowship ought to be with the Lord. I'm talking about walking with God and communicating with Him. Take your Bible, go over here to Luke chapter 24. I'm saying to you this morning, do you have fellowship with God? Do you walk with God? And is He your companion? And that ought to be your primary thing after you get saved. You're talking to Him and have... Listen, I'll tell you, the best times that I have in my Christian life, early in the morning, I get up early. I like to get up early. It's quiet. No phone, no cars going back and forth, and sit someplace. Get myself a little cup of coffee. Folgers. and sit there and read my Bible and get things from God and go back and forth to Him. Woo! It's the best time. I wish I would do it more. Have you had a good time with the Lord today? Did you have one yesterday? Will you have one tomorrow? Oh, you ought to just determine. It's so important in your Christian life is to have fellowship with the Lord. Look over here to Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24. And look there now. Luke chapter 24. I'm going to go back. It's back a book. And right near the end of the chapter. Look at verse number 13. And he said, and behold, two of them went that same day. The same day that that they came to the tomb and they found that it was empty. And that same day... And behold, two of them that went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which is about from Jerusalem, about 3 furlongs. And they talked together of all those things, these things, which had happened. Talking about Jesus Christ being crucified 3 days ago. And the trial of Jesus Christ. And then the subsequent crucifixion. And then the resurrection. And how people had seen Him. And they're talking about these things. The Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And they were talking. In verse number 14, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. They're talking about spiritual things. I mean, what filled their heart filled their mouth. And they and over here in verse number 15, and it says, and it came to pass, you ought to circle this word, while. See, you're having fellowship with a guy, right? Right? And Lord's not there yet. I mean, the Lord, I mean, I know he's there. I know he's omnipresent, right? Right? I mean, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times at the same time or whatever. Omnipresent. He's there, but he's not there. You know what I'm saying? Okay, thank you. Good. I don't have to make any more contortions about it. But they're talking. And notice again, it says, and they talked together of all these things, verse 14, which had, and it came to pass that while they communed together. I mean, they're having religious conversation. Would you grant me that? They're talking of these things. Are you here? And religious conversation. It is related, I read this, of a Bishop Usher and a Dr. Preston, that before they parted, one would say to the other, come, good doctor, let us talk now a little of Jesus Christ. Or the doctor would say, come, my Lord Bishop, let me hear your grace talk of the goodness of God. And with your customary eloquence, let us warm each other's hearts with heaven, that we may better bear this cold world. Woo! That's good. Fellowship is good. This is a cold world. Our hearts need to be warmed, and the only one that's ever going to warm it like it ought to be warmed is talking about Jesus Christ and having fellowship with Him. But I want you to see something here in verse number 15. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned. You know, it was while Zacharias was executing the office of the priest that the angel came down to him. While he was doing it. The psalmist said, what did he say? He said something. There's a lot of psalms. I know what he said. While I was musing, the fire burned. Amen. Now, most of us don't muse enough. We amuse enough, a lot. Amen. You know what musing means? Thinking. Meditating. You know what amusing means? Not thinking. That's why you have so many amusement parks. People go there and they're airheads, and they get more air in their heads being there. That ought not to be our lot. While I was musing, while the fire burned, then I spake. Now watch it again. He says, Luke 24, he said, it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. That's, you know what they had from there on in? They had fellowship with God. Is not Jesus Christ God? Jesus Christ is God. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and these three are one. And they are walking with God, having fellowship with Him. I want you to see something. I love this passage. I could preach the whole thing this morning, but I'm not going to. But notice in verse number 25, please, he starts talking to them. And then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I tell you, fellowshipping with Jesus will help you to learn the Bible better. Hello? And he says, and they drew nigh unto the village, watch this, whither they went, and he made, as though he would have gone. He made a kind of stuff. Well, I got to go on, boys. You're going here's Emmaus. I got to go on. And he just made it that way. Being crafty, I caught you with guile type stuff. And he made it. Why? You know why? Because look what they said. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. You know what? Jesus Christ wants us to want him. He probably wants us to want him and have fellowship more than we want to want him and have fellowship with him. Because we got so many other things going on. And we neglect the most important thing. And that's having fellowship and walking with him. Look at this thing. Verse 29, and they constrained him, saying, abide with us. Abide with me. Da, 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 da. 75, I think it is. Da, 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 da. Amen. Oh, amen. Abide with me. Is that your prayer today? He says, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread. You know, they were walking with God and really didn't even know it. You know, when you think you're really spiritual, you're not. Amen. You think you're humble? You just blew it. he says, and he broke and gave it to them. Verse 31, and their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our... Oh, there it is, heartburn. Amen. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they arose up the same day, hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together to them, and saying, the Lord has risen indeed. Walking with God. Heartburn. Amen. Wanting him more. Abide with us. Going and telling somebody else how great it is to be with Jesus Christ. Go back here to our text this morning, please. We need to learn how to walk with God. And we need to just do it. I hope you will. I hope you will. I hope you will today. I hope you will tomorrow morning. I hope you will get up tomorrow morning. And get up. You say, well, I got to get to work. I got to get on that freeway by 6 o'clock. Get up. I got to get up at 5 o'clock. Get up at 4:30. And read your Bible and have fellowship with Jesus Christ. Then go to bed early. Instead of staying up till 11 o'clock canoes. And go to bed with bad news on your brain. Hello. That's true. Okay, let's look at something else. Let's look at the second thing this morning. Look at this. Look at verse number nine. Watch this. I'm skipping. I'm not preaching on Mary and the ointment and all that kind of stuff, and Judas being the thief and all that. I already talked about being a thief in Sunday school. Amen. All right. So you know who you are kind of hanging with if you're stealing. Okay, verse number nine. You come to church and you get the full dose. Amen. Look at verse number nine. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew, watch this now, that he was there, and they came not, knew that Jesus was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. You know what you ought to have after you get saved? You ought not to just have a fellowship with the Lord, but you ought to have a testimony. You ought to testimony. You know what these people came? They'd heard. Whoa! You hear about Lazarus? Man, I tell you, he was sick. Yeah, he was sick, man. I mean, they had a big prayer meeting for him, and they were praying for him, Martha, Mary, and a whole bunch of the Jews. They were over there praying, and then he died. They put him in that grave, and, you know, I guess we just, you know, I don't know when they're going to have the memorial service. Maybe they already had it, but... Yeah, Lazarus dead. But then Jesus Christ comes on the scene, and he raised him from the dead. And so they went to see him. He had a testimony that he was now alive. You got that testimony that you're now alive, or are you still a deadhead? Hello? Have you been quickened together with him?
Have you been made alive? Well, then you ought to have a testimony. I'll tell you something. I'm sure some came out of curiosity. I'm sure some came to question the state of the dead. They may have been like the Athenians and wonder, what new thing is this, you know? Some of them may have come to just did a confirmation of their own faith, but they came because he had a testimony that something had happened. You know, after I got saved. I know some of you might not believe that, but I did. I got saved. I asked Jesus Christ to save me. And in the same breath, I told him to take control of my life. I was sick and tired of running my life. You don't know me. You don't know what I was like. I'm not going to tell you either, okay? Except that I was raised in the 60s and the 70s and was a dope head, and that's about enough. I was a bad dude. I mean, one thing I didn't do, I wasn't a thief, like some of you. Oh, anyway, got to keep bringing that up. I wasn't that. I didn't murder anybody. Almost killed somebody one time in a bar fight. I'm just telling you that I was not a good guy. And I got saved in 1976. And like I said, I went to a good church. You're in a good church. Stay here. I was in a good church. Why didn't you do, I wish you would do, I hope you do, and I'm sure you, some of you do to me and help me, help somebody else like people helped me and took me in. Not looking at what I looked like, but just accepting me as a brother in Christ and helped me out along the way. And my life changed. I mean, I'm at church at 10 o'clock Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, 6 o'clock, new converts class, 7 o'clock church, Wednesday night church, Thursday night church, prayer meeting on Saturday, back here on Sunday. Then I started teaching Sunday school in about 6 or 7 months after I got saved. And I started teaching. I teach the teenagers at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock church, singing the choir. Oh, before that, I went on the bus at 7 o'clock after working at the Seattle Times from 9 o'clock at night till 2 o'clock in the morning. Get up, drag into that bus, get a cup of coffee. Amen. Go to church, teach that Sunday school lesson, go there, hear Pastor Blue fume and fuss and get all red in the face and spit all over the place. Amen. Sing in the choir. Go back home, take a nap, and get back up at 6 o'clock, preach to those teenagers, preach the socks off of those kids. Oh, boy, take them up against the wall and say, you love them for God. Oh, yeah. Boy, I got in trouble. Oh, I'd really get in trouble today if I did that, you know, with all these abuses and, you know, all that kind of cruddle that's going on. Be back at church 6, preach to those teenagers 7 o'clock. I mean, take those teenagers, go soul winning church Wednesday night, go church soul winning Thursday night, Saturday, take teenagers soul winning. My life changed. Cut my hair, took my necklace off. I went to the door one day, Pastor Blue, right after I was saved. And I always, you know, like some of you, you know, you had these shirts. They kind of hum down here and there, one hair hang out, you know. And you know, proud of that one hair. Amen. Put some Nair, you know, somebody ought to put some Nair on there and just get over with, okay? Amen. Or get you some transplants or something. And anyway, I'm there, and I got that necklace on, and I go to Pastor Blue, and he's an old redneck from Arkansas. And I said, I said something to him, shaking his hand, and all he did, it was like this, brother. Steve, right? Chris, I mean. I knew it was that. And he's like this, looking at that necklace. That's all. Wouldn't look at me, I'll tell you what. I couldn't wait to get home. It was burning into my chest. The flaming eyes of God were on that thing. I changed. My family knew I changed. I had a testimony. Your testimony is a powerful weapon. I'm telling you. It's one of the most powerful weapons you have in service for Jesus Christ. Nobody. They might deny that book. They may. They will. They can't deny that a change has happened in your life. Has it? You got the beer out of the fridge? You still got the... I've seen those pictures of those guys that got that tobacco, man. They're jaws. I've seen those. You ever seen those? Good. You ought to put them on the billboard. Yeah. I mean, you still watch the junk? You got rid of all that literature? Bad literature? Has there been a change in your life? I mean, are you a fanatic now? You ought to be. You're a fanatic for the stinking losers. Still a diehard Vikings fan. Diehard Twins. You know, they were 2-160 this year. But just, no, wait till next year. You're a fanatic for everything else. Be a fanatic for Jesus Christ. My sister, 1980, I made a lot of money in 1980. I made $32,000 in eight weeks. I told your preacher or somebody the other day. I was fishing, commercially fishing. Did it for 5 years up in Alaska in the summer. I made a bunch of bucks. I determined. By the way, I gave 40% to the Lord that year. I promised Him, and then I had to make all that money. Wish I wouldn't have said that. I put that money, put that tithe in the church, $16,000, and I said, I'm going to take my 69 Chevy van, which we were out in Seattle, and that window right there, and the seat, you know, the engine right there, and we went around, we took from Seattle, we flew back from Anchorage, or the islands up there, back to, I think Jane broke her leg that year, right, Jane? And then we flew back to Seattle, got in that Chevy van to 1,200 miles all the way back here to Minneapolis, and we're going to reach my family and her family for Jesus Christ. I spent a whole buku bucks to try to reach them. I went down there. I went down to Minneapolis, and I got on a... I was there. I drove to Chicago. That's where I was born. I got a sister there. And we were driving around and with my sister. And my sister said to me, I don't want to dirty your chair, your cello player. But she said, Johnny, what happened to you? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. You know, last time she saw me was 1974 when my sister got married. And it was her wedding. And I was standing on a table like this at the wedding reception, my brother and I popping champagne corks and trying to hit everybody. I had on a tuxedo, my long hair, and my homemade sandals. I mean, sandals made from a tire, you know, you put the, and make rawhide, you know, and with a tux, and with a joint hanging out of my mouth. She said, what happened to you? I took her to church the next day, and she got saved. Oh, yeah. I led my stepfather to the Lord. I led my mom to the Lord. She went to heaven. I went down to, took Sarah, and we flew down to Houston to try to witness my brother. He said, John, get out of here. You're going to talk like that. He's still not saved. I hope you pray for him. His name's Terry. My oldest brother, my mom married four times, so a lot of them are stepbrothers. My oldest stepbrother, he's 77, at age of 67, walked the aisle on a Sunday night at our church because I'd lived with him in Canada just for a little while before we moved down to Seattle right after I got saved. And he was shacked up with somebody and smoking dope and lighting the candles and the tarot cards and all that kind of stuff. And he walked forward after seeing my life for 10 years. 1997, whatever, 22 years, he walked the aisle on a Sunday night, asked Jesus Christ to save him. He's sitting there in my church service here about 5 years ago when my second oldest daughter got married, and my dad, who's never visited me before, left me when I was 9 years old, 84 years old, is sitting in that service, and I preached on a good man and a bad man. He was a pretty moral man, and self-righteous, certainly, and I preach on a good man and a bad man. Me, the bad man. Of course, him, the bad, good man. But they both needed to be saved. Nicodemus and the demon. And Phil's sitting there at the invitation, wanting my dad to walk forward. My dad had asked him. He says, Phil, what's it like? What's it like about getting saved. And Phil said, he's an old hippie, the guilt is gone. The guilt is gone. My brother Phil had left Chicago in 1968 and left a wife and five kids. My dad left me when I was 9 years old and left me and my mom with four kids. My dad has always regretted that guilt. You get saved, the guilt's gone. My dad that afternoon, out in the parking lot by the bus in our church, said, "Jesus, come into my heart and save me for all eternity." You say, what did that happen? Because somebody had a testimony. I'm no big shot. I'm no Joe Christian. I'm not a super spiritual fella. I don't claim to be, but I got a testimony of salvation. And God, not just that I got saved, but God has changed me. And people see it. Many shall see and fear the Lord. Amen. And lastly, and it carries with this, look at this, and we're done. Look at this thing. Look at this thing. Look at verse 9 again. "Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus to death." I want to tell you something. The devil wants to kill your testimony. Wants to ruin it by going off into the world and saying, I told you that wouldn't last, another fad. In fact, that's what they thought I was going through when I was 30 years old and got saved. They thought John's going through another phase. And this phase has lasted 35 years, man. If I'm in a haze or a cloud, don't take me out. I like where I am. If this is a dream, don't pinch me. And then see, verse 11, and naturally follows the testimony, and I've already told you, he had fruit. Look at verse 11, "because that by reason of him," that's Lazarus, "many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus." You know, God doesn't save you just to save you. I mean, He loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, I know. But He saves you and leaves you here for a purpose. I want to give you one last verse. Go to Psalm 92. He leaves you here for a purpose. You're to honor Him and glorify Him. And one way you can is by bringing forth much fruit. That's what it says, John 15. You still are sucking air today. Because God still has something for you to do. I believe that with all my heart. I really do. There's not a one of you, and you all look like you're pretty much alive, some of you, most of you, I guess. Still haven't got a rise out of you in two services. Just joking. God leaves you here. Listen, you've got something to do. God's got something for you to do. Son, Ben. Right? Got something for you, man. Amen. Amen. Got something for every one of us. That's why you're still living. Are you bringing any fruit? You got a testimony? Are you having fellowship with the Lord? Look at Psalm 92. Psalm 92. Second life of Lazarus. Just like you got born again. I got that on my pickup. I have a bug shield. And I saw years ago, I saw, why you got these guys had to advertise? I'm going to advertise too. And so I put on there, ye must be born again. Amen. Boy, that gets a lot of waves. Yeah. And a lot of rock. Amen. And I get a new pickup. And then I give the old one because it don't fit on them, because that's how they make them these days. So you have to buy a new thing, all that kind of stuff. Just like when you buy a cell phone, you got to get a new plug-in and all that kind of stuff. And so I give them to guys in my church, and so all, a bunch of guys in our church have them on their pickups. Amen. Let them know. Be a testimony. Preach the word. Ye must be born again. If you've been born again, you've got second life. Look at Psalm 92. You ought to have a fellowship with the Lord. You ought to have a testimony. And then you ought to have fruit. And it ought never stop. Look at Psalm 92 and look at verse 12. It says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And those that be planted in the house of the Lord." You ought to be here tonight. You ought to be here every church service. Get planted. You know what I did? I started revolving my life around Open Door Baptist Church out in Linwood, Washington. You say, "Well, what about this and that?" I never had a conflict. If there was, God and His church took the preeminence. Make your life simple. You've got too many things going on. Get planted. You're not a member of this church? You ought to be a member of this church. You ought to be a tithing member of this church. You ought to be a serving member of this church. Get planted! Get planted. I've never seen a guy not join a local church and be active in a local church ever amount to anything for God. I know there's exceptions, but that proves the rule. Look at verse number 13 again. "Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts." Flourish in the courts of our God. Watch it. Verse 14. They shall still bring forth fruit. Say it. When you're about ready to go to the nursing home in old age. There's never a time when we should stop bringing forth. "Well, I'll let the younger crowd take it over now." No, you know, you older folks, you can reach older folks better than some pipsqueak like me. Amen. You teenagers, you're good at wearing teenagers. But the thing is, you ought to be bringing forth fruit. That's the second life of Lazarus. That's the second life of a born-again Christian, to have fellowship with the Lord, to have a testimony, and to bring forth fruit. Is that so in your life today? Have you been born again? Are you sitting here today and say, I prayed a prayer. That doesn't save you. Trusting what Jesus Christ did on that cross for you, for your sins, dying for your sins, and receiving Him as your Savior, asking Him to save you, that'll save you, and mean it with all your heart. Are you a Christian? Are you born again today? If you are, fellowship, testimony, let's see some fruit in these last days. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. I'll preach, and I'll turn the service over to the pastor. But if you're saved this morning, do you have those things? Maybe you need to sharpen them up today. Sharpen up your fellowship with the Lord. Sharpen up your testimony. It's a powerful weapon. Sharpen that thing up. Ask the Lord. Hey, the natural progression then will be fruit. The natural thing will be fruit.
Maybe the Lord spoke to your heart this morning as He has earlier this week. So feel free to come. Also, let's make sure, I know most of the faces here this morning, glad you're here. If it's possible that someone's here in a crowd this size, it is possible. In spite of the familiarity that you've never been saved. Boy, folks, this morning would be the time to get that settled. Amen. Never trusted Christ as your Savior. Why don't you come? You're having doubts, apprehensions, anxiety, why don't you come and let somebody take you aside and show you out of the Bible how to be sure. A lot of us have fought that fight before. I doubted myself for years, actually. I know there are others that have battled that in this very church. So if that might be the case with you, why don't you come? But for now, let's just quietly pause here for a few moments. If the Lord spoke to you about a testimony, about fellowship, why don't you come? Let's get a hymn book. Hymn book and stand with number 125 in hand. 125. Praise the Lord. Glad you guys were here this morning. Look forward to being back tonight at 6. Right? Amen. All right. Well, we're going to be dismissed. Let's have a word of prayer. Brother Dave, would you close us up, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these meetings. And thank you, Lord, the power to raise us from the dead. And right now, Lord, we thank you for giving us a new life. And pray that the life that we live in this flesh, Father, would be pleasing to you. Be spiritually minded and have a fellowship with you that, Lord, you desire, we often desire. Lord, help us to draw closer to you in these last days and be faithful and help us to bear fruit like you have us, Lord, for your sake and the sake of these people in this building and all of this city and around this world, Lord. Help us be faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We look forward to seeing you tonight.